We're talking about cyber insecurity. We've discussed cybersecurity quite a bit on this program over the last year or so that we've been on the air, and Federal News Radio covers the issue very regularly. But today we're approaching it from a little different perspective, and that is the workforce perspective. Cyber insecurity, strengthening the federal cybersecurity workforce, is a new publication from the Partnership for Public Service. And I have two guests who are experts in this area to join me today. Frank Reeder was the Chief Information Policy Officer at the Office of Management and Budget, founder of the Reeder Group. And Frank is in studio with me today, and thank you for coming in to join me here. And I appreciate having you on.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
And on the phone with us today is Norm Lawrence, first government-wide chief technology officer at OMB during the Bush administration, now a director in the global public sector of Grant Thornton. And Norm, thanks for joining me today.
Great to be with you.
The state of the cybersecurity workforce, what it looks like, who they are, the skills that they have, and how long they're going to be around, all factors that are dealt with in this report. Frank, I want to start with you. As you're analyzing the workforce, and as this report talks about the transition, especially from government personnel to contractors, and now trying to move back to having people in-house, give us kind of where we stand now so that then we can build on that by talking about where what the recommendations are, where we should be going.
Those who know me know, I like to speak in metaphors, and the metaphor that best suits this situation is, if you will, akin to 19th century medicine. There are really two problems. One is the quantitative problem of simply not having the number of technically skilled people that are needed. I think the Partnership for Public Service report does a terrific job of raising the level of concern, of beginning to do some empirical work, at least based on the surveys they've done, that says we simply don't have, if you will, the right people in the right place. The second, and this is the analogy to medicine, if you will, cybersecurity is a far more complicated field than the use of a single term would suggest. If I'm interested in having brain surgery, I don't really need a board-certified dermatologist. I need somebody who has skill in that area. And when I go in for an MRI, I'd like it to be read by a board-certified radiologist. But I'd also like the person who operates the machine and who maintains it to have technical skills on that particular device.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't even a general skill.
Yeah.
So the challenge is twofold. One is building pure numbers, and second, in the cyber world, we do not yet have the cues in the marketplace. We're beginning to develop them that tell us who is qualified and who isn't. The problem is exacerbated, as you suggest, by the fact that even as this administration reexamines the insourcing, outsourcing question, I suspect that our technology support will still be very heavily contractor-provided. So to speak of the workforce problem purely as a federal employee problem only addresses a piece of the issue.
Norm, the whole situation is really weird because it's not just the federal government that needs these people, although you might argue that because the federal government serves the entire country, maybe they need them a little bit more than the private sector does.
Yeah, it's not an either or, it's an and.
Yeah.
It's the same pool of people, and it's the same network, so the skill sets are the same and so forth, and I agree with what Frank said. It doesn't make any difference what color your baseball cap is, whether you're, outside the government in the private sector or inside in the public sector. We need more of these folks, and there's both shortage as well as, you know, the specific skill sets.
If you want to stick with Norm's baseball analogy, Frank, there are superstars. The president has talked about naming a cybersecurity czar, and certainly there are very few people that argue somebody should be paying attention to cybersecurity at that level. But you also have role players, and you have minor leaguers who are on their way up to the big leagues to play with the big boys, so to speak. what's the state of the pipeline, I guess, as far as whether people are getting the training they need? Are there trainers to give them the training that they need and so forth?
Great question, and I love the metaphor. I'm going to move away from medicine to baseball, which I actually think I know more about than medicine. And if you will, to pursue the metaphor a little bit, there are actually people who are managers and policy people. You know, I think of Theo Epstein mm-hmm. in the front office of the Boston Red Sox.
You had to bring up the Red Sox, didn't right. you? You just had to.
Whom I would never want to have playing on the field.
Uh-huh.
So there are people who think large thoughts and who understand the business, but who don't have the technical skills or talent, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to bring them all along. I think we're actually doing pretty well on the policy side. Where I worry about is exactly the problem you describe of the farm systems, if you will. And the farm systems in this instance is the American educational system. There's a great... And we're making some progress in that area. We have the Scholarships for Service program. We have the effort by the National Security Agency to create centers of academic excellence to begin to create that pipeline. But it's a very small portion of what we need. On Monday, the Center for Strategic International Studies announced a major initiative. I should again reveal that I serve on a commission at the center on cybersecurity for the 44th presidency, called the U.S. Cybersecurity Challenge. I urge your readers or listeners to Google that term, all designed to use your metaphor to build the farm system, to build the feeder systems, the mm-hmm. minor league clubs, semi-pro teams in Central America that will bring us the talent that we need to get the job done.
There are four recommendations or four challenges that the partnership identified in this report: cyber insecurity, strengthening the federal cybersecurity workforce. And Norm, if you can stand by with me, we'll dig into those when we come back on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose, and we'll be back in a moment.
Urgent! Bob, I need the Baker file stat!
Reply! Still making changes! Circle back later!
Why is everybody yelling?
Our internet slows down during peak hours, so sending emails and large files takes forever. So we just yell.
Ben! Thanks for the flowers! I thought you hated me! LOL!
Semicolon! Right parenthesis! Winky emoticon!
If your internet isn't Verizon, it might be slowing you down. Switch today for a dedicated high-speed internet connection from our office to yours, so you won't be slowed down even if your neighbors are online. Up to 7 megs. Call 877-NETWORK, and for only $79.99 a month for 12 months with a 3-year contract, you'll also get our advanced internet security features, unlimited nationwide calling, and over $180 back in available online rebates, all with the reliability of the Verizon network. Call 877-NETWORK today. Verizon Single Line Business Pack, one of the many tools in the Verizon Small Business Toolbox. Offer available to new HSI customers. Subscription to data protection pack required. Early termination fees, taxes, and other terms apply. Offer ends 9/18/09.
There is a watchmaking standard that is revered around the world. That standard comes from Rolex. From clasp to bracelet to its unique watertight oyster case, a Rolex holds its value because it was intended to. Crafted from just three precious metals, platinum, steel, and gold, each defies the ordinary. Its steel, 904L, virtually indestructible and corrosion-resistant, is incomparable. Its patented Everrose Gold, created in an exclusive foundry, will remain beautiful for life. Inside, a genuine Rolex movement is a product of superiority and remarkable testing. It is unrivaled. At Rolex, flawless standards create more than a watch. They create a value that was meant to endure. For a complete selection of Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau,
the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
I'm Amy Morris with a preview of today's Daily Debrief. What is the Transparency Corps? It's an opportunity for you to get involved in the government's transparency initiative, and we'll learn more from the Sunlight Foundation. We'll follow lawmakers who are considering a federal whistleblower bill in the Senate. Debate's been going on a long time, 10 years. All that and more to come on this afternoon's Daily Debrief from 3 until 7 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. For all the latest federal news, check out federalnewsradio.com.
In Depth with Francis Rose, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Want to know how Congress is affecting your agency's staffing and budget? Want to learn more about the relationship between your agency and its contractors? In Depth helps you become a better manager by exploring the best ways to manage projects, manage your workforce, and manage yourself. In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons from 1 to 3 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
We're back on In Depth on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We are talking about cyber insecurity, strengthening the federal cybersecurity workforce, a new report from the Partnership for Public Service. And my guests are Norm Lorenz, formerly at OMB and now a director in the global public sector of Grant Thornton, and Frank Reeder, also formerly at OMB and founder of the Reeder Group. And there are four primary challenges outlined in this report, Norm. The first one we talked a little bit about in the first segment, that's the pipeline of potential new talent and the fact that it's not adequate to supply the amount of people that everybody needs. What are your thoughts about what needs to happen to pick that up?
Well, I think there's, there are examples of marketplaces that have been created for technical jobs. There's online job boards where there are routinely jobs identified based on consistent job descriptions and certifications. So we do know how to do these things in systems engineering and so forth and so on. So we don't have to invent that. I think there's two key partnerships that have to occur, and this is mentioned in some of the recommendations. Number one, we don't have to invent this, so there needs to be a partnership between the government and the public sector to create the job classifications and job descriptions that are necessary to be filled in order to build this pipeline. And then secondly, there has to be a partnership between the folks that actually own the resources, which is the CIOs, the technical community, and the organization that should be providing those resources is the expert on sourcing them, which is OPM. And there needs to be clearly understood roles that the CIOs understand the discipline, the necessities, the requirements, and OPM should take the valid customer requirements and create the cycle time and the outreach and the HR processes necessary to get those resources in here. And again, to support what Frank said earlier, this is always going to be a blended workforce. And right now, the scale is tipped remarkably to the private sector in terms of the number of cybersecurity experts. And one last comment is, Frank used the medical metaphor earlier, and I think it applies here in that we practice cybersecurity. That when you say practice something, it means you're practicing at it. You don't know everything about it. You're learning every day.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get people in here with a baseline level of capability to specific job descriptions, and then we build the discipline, community of practice, and so forth and so on.
Frank, the second challenge that's identified here, fragmented governance and uncoordinated leadership hinders the ability to meet federal cybersecurity workforce needs. Should there be, maybe under the purvey of the cybersecurity czar, somebody whose sole job it is to do the kinds of things that Norm is talking about, developing talent, cultivating this pipeline?
Yeah, I don't know whether I'm not good at organizational design. I don't know whether that's a somebody, but clearly within the portfolio of the czar, who we hope will be named very soon, is the whole human capital question.
Mm-hmm.
And the human capital question is not, again, just about the federal hiring process. It's about collaborating not only with the personnel folks, but also with the educational system,
mm-hmm.
To begin to produce. And here the problem gets even more complicated by the fact that many of the people we're talking about don't self-identify as cybersecurity people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm as interested in increasing the supply of people who can write tight, secure code. Who think of themselves as software people, not cyber people,
mm-hmm.
as cybersecurity people. So it, and there, the National Science Foundation can be catalytic. The federal government has instruments, but it's the pipeline, as going back to the farm system metaphor, goes all the way back to, the the high schools, the colleges, and universities that hone the talent that ultimately finds its way into the labor pool.
Now that's a good point, and was actually kind of where I was headed with my next question, Norm, which is at what level and what skills do we need to start identifying people and getting them to do what Frank is saying, and that is to self-identify as somebody who is a potential cybersecurity professional? What skills should they be learning, or where should we be going to high schools and saying, who are your best people at X skill?
Well, again, I think cybersecurity as a discipline is piggybacked on a fundamental requirement to address a shortage in discipline areas that involve math and science, certainly computer science, engineering. And so we should be reaching out into the high schools, even preschools has been mentioned, as well as certainly into the colleges and so forth. So foundationally, systems engineering, math, et cetera. And then, you know, frankly, it's just like, you know, in any organization, you need the pipeline of folks that are in development. And then you need the SAGE community of existing practitioners at the same time. And that's where increasingly it becomes blended, because most of the folks that quote unquote fit that description are in the private sector right now.
I had a conversation with a high school guidance counselor a while back, and the conversation turned to, at what point in time today, in this day and age, do kids decide what they really want to do? My son's 9, and he's determined that he's going to be a player for DC United. And I would love to see that happen, but I'm not sure that that's probably what he'll wind up doing. And so the question that I meant was, at what point do kids decide or have some sense of what they really want to do for a real career? And that formation is in anywhere between 8th and 11th grade, when they're kind of forced to make decisions about what they want to do in college. And so it seems to me that that's probably where, Norm and Frank, that most of that effort is going to be directed over the next several years.
Absolutely.
Think that makes sense, Frank?
Yeah, I quite agree. I mean, there's a tendency to overuse the Sputnik metaphor, but I think this is an instance, again, where what we really do need to do is re-energize the pipelines that encourage kids, open opportunities for kids to pursue math science curricula. And that's the choice, I think, that you described that they're making in 8th to 11th grade.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably not making vocational choices because they're not aware of the vocational opportunities that grounding in those disciplines affords them.
Yeah.
So we get another shot at them, if you will, at the undergraduate and again at the graduate school level, when they begin to see how they convert their passion for science or math into something at which they can make a living and which gives them psychic income. So I think at the risk of assuming that we're reliving the late 1950s and early 60s, the world is slightly different. And we need to think in the terms that the Sputnik wake-up call gave us in 57.
Well, I would think that it would be very hard to argue, going back and looking at what happened in the aftermath of that it was a bad idea. It certainly provided the country with a lot of benefits. My guests are Norm Lorenz and Frank Reeder, and we're talking about the Partnership for Public Service's new report, Cyber Insecurity, Strengthening the Cybersecurity Workforce. There are two more primary challenges identified in this report, and we'll cover those when we come back from the break on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Hear news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Jane Norris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the changing administration and how it impacts every part of your agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
Hi, this is David and Nikki Nellis for Dishing It Out, the D.C. area's one and only food and wine variety show.
Join us next Sunday, August 2nd. We'll be drinking bourbon in studio with J. Paul's Restaurant.
Woo-hoo.
We'll also have Goodstone Inn's Tarver King and Simon Smith in to talk about some fine dining. And Chef Brian Robinson from Three Bar and Grill will be in.
Sounds like fun. That's Dishing It Out next Sunday at 11. That's August 2nd right here on 1500 and 820 AM.
If you're looking for the one government cybersecurity event to attend this year, the Department of Homeland Security's U.S. Computer Emergency Readiness Team's G-First Conference is it. Over 1,000 government and industry leaders will gather in Atlanta August 23rd through 28th to discuss incident response issues from cyber threats and vulnerabilities to attack, detection, and incident mitigation. For more information, go to us-cert.gov/G-First. Don't miss your chance to stay on top of cybersecurity. Be a part of G-First this August.
Hi, I'm Neil Asbury, host of The Neil Asbury Show. Please join me and my guests each week as we discuss the importance of international trade, entrepreneurialism, small business ownership, job creation, and the American dream.
The Neil Asbury Show, Saturday mornings at 8 on Federal News Radio. The Neil Asbury Show is sponsored by AIT Worldwide Logistics, Yoakum Shore and Trossaven, and WTS, Withers Worldwide Transportation Systems.
Take the average person out there. If I told you that you could save 15% or more on car insurance simply by switching to GEICO, you'd be pretty happy about that now, wouldn't you? You'd maybe invite me to tea or something. Well, if you're an employee of the federal government, we'd be drinking lots of tea. Because you can also get special discounts from GEICO over and above their already low rates. But it's not just about saving money. 97% of customers say they're satisfied with GEICO's service. In and of itself, that's a great reason federal employees have been choosing GEICO for over 70 years. And it's why so many federal employees continue to choose GEICO year after year. Gee, imagine if they all got together. Suppose we'd have enough tea to go around.
Well said, my little green friend. This is Mike Causey. If you're a federal employee, this is a great time to find out more about special GEICO discounts that may apply to you. Just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO or visit geico.com and see how much you could save.
The Federal News Radio July Community Spotlight is Stand Up for Kids, a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping homeless and at-risk youth in the United States. Over 1.5 million children, teenagers, and young adults are living on the streets of the U.S., and our nation's capital is not immune. Of that 1.5 million, 1,400 are homeless in the D.C. area. Stand Up for Kids is always looking for talented individuals to join their team. For more information, click on Community Active at federalnewsradio.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We are talking about the Partnership for Public Services report in collaboration with Booz Allen Hamilton called Cyber Insecurity, Strengthening the Federal Cybersecurity Workforce. And my guest to discuss it in studio, Frank Reeder, formerly at the Office of Management and Budget, founder of the Reeder Group. And Frank, you're involved with some other things now, too, that I want to give you a chance to talk about a little bit later on. And Norm Lorenz, also a former OMB person and now director in the global public sector with Grant Thornton. We're talking about these four primary challenges that are identified in this report, Norm. Number three is complicated processes and rules hamper recruiting and retention efforts. And I think anybody who's worked for the federal government for more than about 5 minutes is aware of some of the issues with the hiring process. We've talked about them quite a bit on this radio station, on this program in particular. So I want to save the time that we have left for number four, which is there is a disconnect between frontline hiring managers and government's HR specialists. And this is another OPM issue that's brought up here. And in particular, I found this number interesting. 41% of the CIOs and CISOs and 38% of HR managers reported being either dissatisfied or very dissatisfied at the level of collaboration with OPM. That's not good when you're trying to bring a bunch of really skilled people into the government.
Well, I think the only thing that can be said about that that's good is that everybody is pretty dissatisfied with this. And when you have that kind of a situation, you like your chances of making it better. So I am optimistic. But we've got a fundamental disconnect here about who is a supplier and who's the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And my experience in the private sector as a technology officer, the HR capability sat in my right hand, and it was a partnership. I described the capabilities that were required, and they had metrics around cycle time and in order to get those people into the position where they could be productive and satisfy the business need or in the government the mission need. That's broken. Fundamentally, the agencies, and again, when I was in the government, I saw the same thing. The agencies spend a huge amount of time satisfying OPM requirements instead of saying to OPM, here are my requirements, now produce this in X period of time. Now, again, the good news is that you look at the new person at OPM, John Berry, and what is he doing? He understands there's a problem. He's doing his strategic plan. He's kind of like letting the whole world have access to it over the next few months because he knows it's broken. So, again, I think the fundamentals are the roles are split. You know, we need clarity in terms of who's doing the requirements and who's doing the sourcing of the capability. And if we get that, I think we can make progress in a very short period of time.
It does not take long when I have two people who know what they're talking about and are very well informed to run out of time, and I'm doing that already. And so, Norm, I want to thank you very much for being on with me by phone. The next time you got to come in the studio.
I'll do that.
You have to promise me that. Norm Lorenz of Grant Thornton, director in the global public sector there. Frank Reeder in studio with me, founder of the Reeder Group, also a former OMD person, OMB person. And what are you up to now in addition to working with the Reeder Group?
Enough to fill the next half hour.
You got 20 seconds.
In 20 seconds, let me make a shameless plug for one of the things I'm working on. I also coach in the Partnership for Public Services Leadership Fellows Program. I encourage your listeners who don't or aren't aware of it or who are to go to the partnership's website and take a look at whether they want to send some folks into that program.